everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Untamed Terrain. I am one of your hosts, Laurie Solomon Cedillo.
Hi, guys. Tommy Cedillo.
And today, if you don't know about us, go see episode 1. You can learn a little bit about who we are and what we talk about and why. Today, our topic is love languages. Tommy.
All 5 of them.
Fill us in.
Yeah, the 5 love languages. I'd heard about it, obviously, prior to you and I starting our relationship, but never really dove into it. Think maybe took a test a few years back, or 6-7 years ago. Come to find out, it was started by Pastor Gary Chapman, who was also a marriage counselor, and he published a book in 1992, The 5 Love Languages, after realizing that a lot of his people that were coming through counseling had similarities. They had one person needed this, the other person needed that, and so on and so forth. And as multiple couples came through, he started to put it all together and realize, okay, I'm going to put these people in a group. I'm going to put these people in a group. And came up with 5 love languages, which are, I'll just go through them really quick. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. So you and I have taken the test together and talked a lot about what we like as being the other side in a relationship. You know, what works for us, what makes us feel loved. And you know, I'm a little biased, but everything you do makes me feel loved. So
you're just too sweet.
That getting into that, words of affirmation. Words of affirmation is just basically a statement, a note, a text of telling somebody that they did a great job, that you're proud of them, that you love the way that they handled the situation with the kids last night or 5 minutes ago, whatever it may be. But letting them know that what they did was seen, respected, and giving them the feedback on that through a note, through a text, or whatever it may, or however that may come across. So knowing that, I know that that's yours, and we'll get into our individual ones in a bit, but what do you think, or why do you think that you realize that that's your love language, that that's what you need?
Well, I think before we get into my love language, it's good for us to talk about what the other 4 are. As Tommy said, there's words of affirmation. The next is quality time. So carving out time for that individual so that they know that they're a priority in your life. There's physical touch, which is that physical assurance, whether it is, you know, holding hands or giving a hug or even, you know, stroking their head, rubbing their shoulders. The other 2.
Acts of service. So you're doing chores around the house. You're running errands. You're like, I went and picked up dry cleaning for you today. I went to the grocery store. I saw that you had a list, so I went to the grocery store for you. I signed the kids up for Little League. I took care of that. Just doing basic monotonous things, but doing them for your partner and letting them know that, hey, I took care of this for you. You don't have to worry about it. Receiving gifts is simple as it sounds. It doesn't have to be grandiose. It doesn't have to be, hey, I bought you a brand new Louis Vuitton bag. It's something simple that you listened to what they wanted. You listened to their experience or their you listened to what they told you that they like. And so you took the time to put some thoughtfulness into the giving this gift. And into, it could be anything, a scarf, shoes, whatever it may be, you listen to what it is they wanted and you put some thought into giving that gift to them.
Absolutely. So Tommy had alluded, we know each other's love languages. We actually started a couple of years ago engaging in a fun activity called Couples Adventure Challenge. It's actually a whole series. And if you've never heard of it, go out and get you some because they're so fun. They have them for couples. They have them for siblings. They have them for families. They have them for parents with children. They have them for friends. It's a whole series. And one of the ones that we scratched off was finding out each other's love languages.
Right.
So we went to our favorite little hole-in-the-wall beer and tap shop, which is, you know, down the street from our house. Occasionally we walk there and share a drink. And we decided to discuss, to take the test. And we will link the test in the captions to this so that you can take the test yourself, because I highly recommend it. It's really important to know each other's love languages. But we took the tests individually, and then we shared our results. And you've already, spoiler alert, told everybody what mine is, but I want you to tell everybody what your love language is.
Mine was physical touch. So when you talk about scratching my head, running your fingernails, I mean, thank God you have the fingernails that you do sometimes, because that,
I only do it for you, baby.
Yeah. So it's funny, you'll go get your nails done. Hold on, I get home. The real test is how they feel on my back. But yeah, I just, it's receiving a hug or even a pat on the back. I grew up in a family that hugged each other in good times, sad times, bad times. We just, that was, when you met someone new, that's what we did. We just gave them a hug, like welcoming them, letting them know that they're welcome, letting them know that this is a safe place. So I think over time, and thinking back on it, a lot of that was probably absent in my youth. As I alluded to in episode one, you know, I grew up with a single mother working two jobs, so I didn't have that nurturing physical relationship where, you know, mom was there to rub your head. It's funny, my mom's father, my grandfather Lino, I remember getting in his bed, and as kids we'd play out in the desert all day long, and we get home and he would just scratch my hair, like rub my head, and then I could feel the sand in my hair because we'd been outside playing all day. But I remember that feeling. It felt so good of his fingers, because, you know, we only got that 2 days a week. He was gone working, but that was one of the things that I remember that felt good, you know. So it was always a physical touch for me. It was always as simple, like I said, as a hug, or even in our intimate moments where we're together, I feel connected. I feel closer to you. I feel like, you know, okay, we're good right now. This is everything is right in the world. You and I are in good place. So I think understanding that, and especially for you out there, if you're in a relationship or you're dealing with your children, knowing their love languages kind of helps ease you into navigating that relationship and keeping it as good as it can be. So yeah. Why do you think words of affirmation appeals to you? We'll get back to that question now.
Okay. Finally. No, I'm kidding. So I am the youngest of four children, and, you know, there, without going too far into my family history, we'll eventually get into that. But I was the youngest, and so I felt like I had to compete for attention. I also know that I was kind of the oops baby. My parents were not intending to have another child when I came along, and so I was kind of an unplanned surprise. And because of that, I don't think my family really checked out, but there was, growing up, you know, my dad had a hard time deciding what he wanted to do in his life. And it wasn't until I was older that he really latched onto that, which we'll get into later. But my parents were very busy, and my dad worked all the time. And so I really competed for attention a lot. There were also, and, you know, we'll get into this in a little bit in this episode, there were also instances where I was forced to engage with people physically. And I don't mean in any scandalous, you know, horrible way, but, you know, I was pressured to give people physical affection, even if I didn't want to. Because I needed to keep up appearances. And so I would have to hug people that creeped me out sometimes, and people I didn't want to share physical space with. And so because of that, physical attraction or physical affection is really low on my list, but words of affirmation is high. Because with words of affirmation, for me, it means that you actually value me, that you see what I'm doing, and you understand the sacrifice or the effort that it takes to perform at what I perform at. And having that acknowledgement has always meant a lot to me. So Why don't you talk a little bit, babe, about when we found out, when we took the test, what happened next with us?
I think we started to understand more how to keep each other, not just happy, but how to keep each other knowing that we have, that we'll never lose touch, that we'll never fall too far away from one another, because we have the tools now to use through the five love languages to keep things fresh. And doesn't, when you take the test and you find out what your number one topic is, it doesn't mean that that's the only thing that drives you, because it'll give you information like, okay, I know that my next one is quality time. But so you start to really dive into, all right, I don't always need to be touched, but what are the other things that I find important in order to feel loved?
Right.
And so for us to be able to prioritize those items, those five love languages, and what they mean to us, I think that's been key in keeping our relationship as strong as it is. I mean, we're able to I don't always need to tell you that you're doing a great job, and I think that you did a fantastic job on closing out the end of the month for work, or you did a fantastic job bottling or canning all the fruit that we did yesterday. There's more to it as we start to dig into the other love languages and kind of leading up to that.
Yeah. And by identifying our own love languages, mm-hmm. The next thing we did with this challenge is we shared with each other, this is my love language. Mm-hmm. And then we shared how we can show up for each other using that love language. Mm-hmm. So I asked Tommy, to share, how can I show up? How do I speak your love language? What am I doing right? What do I need to do more in order to show you that I understand and hear your love language? And
your response was, by the way,
what was that?
How do you think that's going?
I think, by and large, we're pretty good about it. I think being able to identify what they are, especially because your love language is by far, Tommy is very, very even keel with his love languages. I mean, I think his lowest one is 17 and his highest is 27. He's very even keel. Mm-hmm. Mine, words of affirmation is like 52 and physical affection is like 4.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge for me to mm-hmm. meet your love language because it's so far from me. But it's really interesting being able to identify this. And we'll talk about this in a few minutes about how you relate love languages to other aspects of your life. But, Tommy was able to share with me how I can speak his love language so that he knows that I'm understanding and taking into account how he needs to be seen. Do you remember what you told me?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Okay. One thing, I know that quality time was a big thing.
Yeah.
Because I do tend to give Tommy a lot of physical affection. And maybe it's just you. I will drive down the street and I swear I constantly have my fingers on the back of his head, scratching the back of his head and running my hand up and down, his neck. I've never had a problem showing you physical affection. Mm-hmm. But I know that quality time was ranked right up there.
Right.
And, Tommy had alluded in our last episode about how we finally took our honeymoon almost a year after we got married. We went on this really great cruise. And, he had mentioned that one way for me to show him his love language was to surprise him. And mm-hmm. so one day he went, I think he was running the kids around or something. And while he was gone, I received an advertisement for this cruise. And I was like, we need to go on a honeymoon. We never did. You never went on a honeymoon you did a small one with your first marriage, but nothing with your second.
Yeah, no, either one of them, no.
I did a small one with my first marriage and nothing with my second, and I felt like we deserved one.
Yeah.
So I went and booked us this 10-day cruise as a surprise, and he came home, and I had it pulled up on my phone, and I scrolled through my phone, and I said, does this look cool? And he said, yeah. And then I scrolled to the bottom, and it was our confirmation number. So that was one thing. And then do you remember when I told you, you know, how do you speak my love language, or how you can show me
that you understand? Yeah, I do. I remember that you told me that you want to be are told and have that confirmation of that I see the effort that you put into our relationship. I see the effort that you put into the work that you do. I see the effort that you've put into getting your bachelor's degree and your master's degree, all while pretty much raising children on your own. And when we discovered this, I had to really sit back and make it a make it something that I focused on, because I tend to, being so, I guess, even keel, as you say, I tend to think that if things aren't rocking, then everything's good. And I really have to focus on, okay, but is everything good? Checking in with you, doing those kinds of things, and giving you those affirmations, giving you those reminders and that I notice, that I see what you're doing, that I see that you've put a lot of thought into this, and wow, that was a great job. Like I said, I can't always catch those moments, and I'll do it maybe down the road or later that day. But I think knowing this has helped me focus on how to speak that love language for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point here. You may think, oh, I should have acknowledged mm-hmm. that, or I should have done this. And I would encourage all of you that when that moment hits, I should have said this, I should have done that, just go do it. Yeah. If somebody crosses your mind, don't put off the text. Don't put off the phone call. Don't put off the hug. Go out and do it, because, A, you never get the moment back. Okay, you can't redo what's not been done or go back and change what you chose to do, but you can always make a new one, right? So if I walk past you and think, you know, I'm leaving, we work together at home. I'm leaving the office. I walk past his desk to leave the room. If I take a step out the door and think, I probably should have given him a kiss, I'm going to pop my head back in and give him a kiss, because not only do you deserve that, but I don't know if why the universe told me I needed to do that, if it's something that you need so much in that moment. Like, if it could be the litmus test between a day turning really shitty or a day being awesome. Mm-hmm. And so when you have the impulse to do something like that, just act on it. Act on it and do it.
Yeah. I think if you guys take the time and take the opportunity to take, not only take the test, but really dive into where your percentages are with the love languages and study that for a bit and really think about, okay, how can I, you know, let's say they're receiving gifts is your partner's number one love language. Well, start writing down some ideas, keep notes, you know, we've all got notes on our phones, whether it's Android or iPhone, there's a way to keep reminders. And so I put yours in my notes, you know, I put those in there as something to go back and look at and say, oh yeah, you know, this is something I should probably be doing.
Right.
And knowing that, it really makes you focus on your relationship. It really makes you focus on the things that you're doing for those around you. It's meant to make you selfless in a relationship. So many of us, and like I said, we're not certified or therapist or counselors, but I think what we lose focus on is the other person. We lose focus on what was it that brought you two together. And let's say you realize that love language was receiving gifts, then keeping that fresh and finding ways to do it to where you're not feeling like, oh, I got to go buy a gift. Yeah. But you see something go, whether it reminds you of your partner or your child, do it. Like you said, take the time to just do it.
Absolutely.
So,
well, and I think it's important also, you know, not everybody who's going to be listening is in a marriage or in a relationship. But we all do have relationships. Yeah. And so this love language, and yes, it is love languages, but ultimately it applies to everything. It applies to relationships with your children, relationships with your parents, relationships with your teachers, relationships with your coworkers, with your bosses. It is universal because everybody tends to fall within this scope of five. So one of the things, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about this, but you know, you brought up gifts, and I want to apply that to something I learned after taking it. My father had PTSD. He was a Vietnam veteran, and we'll go into that history a little bit more later, but his love language was giving gifts, and it took me quite a while to be able to realize that him buying me my first pair of Doc Martens so that I would accompany him to San Francisco for business was his way of showing me love. Mm-hmm. He worked too hard as a side effect of his PTSD, and he worked too long to show up to my softball games or my basketball games. But he would buy me gifts, and he would give those to me. I resented it, right? Because I wanted the words of affirmation. Right. I wanted him to show up for me, but he wasn't there. But he was showing me love the only way he knew how. And as soon as I was able to identify that, it changed that whole dynamic for how I viewed my dad. And fortunately, I was able to identify it before he died, mm-hmm. so that we were on good terms when my dad passed.
Yeah, I think it helps with the communication in a huge way. And I really quick, we talked about the different types and how you relate it to other relationships. And then this isn't a plug for the five love languages books, but I did know that there are five love languages for service members, five love languages for teachers. There are different topics that are covered if you need specifics. But really quick, as we start to wrap up, my learning these love languages and really starting to study them now is starting to make a difference in my relationship with my children, especially.
Absolutely.
They're five completely different individuals. Even the twins are opposite ends of personalities. And knowing what they need, knowing how they need to be approached as far as being loved, has made a huge difference and will continue to make a huge difference in my relationship with them moving forward. I was never really a communicative person. I didn't always bring up things when they needed to be talked about. So I didn't talk to my kids a lot when they were young and getting into preteen years and doing that. I didn't have the hard conversations with them, but knowing how to approach them based on this is starting to make a huge difference. And I want to say salvage a relationship with them, but let them understand me a little more as well.
Yeah. So. Well, we had, so obviously with having, you know, seven kids in the house, we spend an awful lot of time cooking meals. And it's fun because every once in a while the kids will come in and we get to have a nice conversation while we're preparing dinner. And one day my daughter came in and sat down and we had been talking about love languages and she was asking about it. And I said, oh, haven't you heard of it? And she said, no. So she looked it up on her phone while she was sitting at the kitchen table and she took the test. And when she took the test, she got to the end, and I asked her if she felt comfortable sharing her results with me, and she did. Her number one love language is physical affection. Well, that's like the love language I am least versed in, right? And so I knew it's going to be a stretch for me to meet her on her love language, for me to strengthen that love language for me so that I can give her what she needs.
Right.
But it is so nice to know that. It's nice to know that she needs to have hugs from me when she's upset.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's 13 years old. She is almost as tall as I am. She weighs probably 20 pounds less than I do. But she will climb in my lap while I'm at work and literally curl up in my lap like she's 3 years old again. And that's her love language, for me to be receptive of that and not to be put off by it or, you know, to be inconvenienced by it. Likewise, she knows that my love language is words of affection. And so, or I'm sorry, words of affirmation. So she and I are able to communicate in a way where we're answering each other's love languages, and it has done wonders for our relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, as Tommy said, we would encourage you guys to go out and not only take the test for yourself so you understand your own love language, but take the test with your loved ones. Take the test, or at least learn enough about those love languages so that you can reasonably infer what the people you work with, the people who you engage with, what their love language is.
Yeah. Yep. It's been a life changer for sure. And coming into a third marriage, it's like, this makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, and it's easy to use. And for you and I to be able to have this tool and constantly work on ourselves together has been great.
Absolutely.
So, well, everyone, thank you. Thank you so much. And as always, if we can help, you guys can reach out to us at untamedterrainpod@gmail.com. If you have any questions, we'll post a link, like Lori said, in our Instagram page, and that's Untamed Terrain Podcast as well. And put the link to the books if you want it. Use it. It's great. It's been a fantastic tool for us, and we look forward to growing that even more.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in.